your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 12. Well, a good-sized chapter, much shorter than our New Testament reading. 2 Kings chapter 12, let us hear God's holy and inspired word. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And Jehoash said to the priest, "All the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found." But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, "Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house." And the priests consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priests that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money being told into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, and to masons and hewers of stone, and to buy timber and hewed stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord. And for all that was laid out for the house to repair it, albeit there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold, or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen, and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord, it was the priests'. Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it, and Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his fathers, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasure of the house of the Lord, and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. And the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Selah. For Josachar, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, his servants, smote him, and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Well, thus ends the reading of God's holy word. If you will recall, in the previous chapter, it ended with describing how Athaliah's 6 to 7 year usurpation over Judah came to an end. Jehoash, having been hidden in the temple when he was yet a nursing child, is 7 years later declared king, while Athaliah seized and killed. It's on this note our chapter opens up to describe Jehoash's life and death in 4 main sections. From verse 1 to 3, we are provided with a summary, a moral assessment of his reign. Then we're told in verse 4 to 15 of his commendable plans to have the Lord's house repaired. The third section is a brief account of a later not-so-commendable act appeasing the king of Syria. And the chapter ends with how Jehoash died. Well, beginning first with that first part, verse 1 through 3, we observe Jehoash reigns for a significant amount of time. It says 40 years. Joash as a king was commended so long as he had Jehoiada the priest to instruct him, as we read also in 2 Chronicles 24. However, even while Jehoiada instructed him, verse 3 says that the high places were not taken away. The Jewish people had explicitly been commanded through Moses to destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. Nevertheless, as the prophet Ezekiel describes it, when they had been brought into Canaan by the Lord, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out their drink offerings. Well, the continued presence and operation of the high places, despite Jehoash's good reign while Jehoiada was alive, remained as a serious mark upon it and upon the people. Perhaps we might imagine that Jehoash personally opposed them. But the use of them had been for so long among the people, and that to attempt to break with them perhaps would rouse up disturbances. Think of disturbances we see in our own country today. As some have observed before, the longer we refuse to deal with our sins, the harder it will be to extirpate them. Perhaps we may imagine that along with this, it had become so customary and ingrained that there was no felt need to really deal with these things. Well, whatever reasons can be amounted, the Lord's assessment of this particular omission was negative. It was a blot upon his reign and the nation, his good acts notwithstanding. As we read in the second section, 4 to 15, Jehoash, who had been raised from infancy to 7 years of age, hidden in the temple, now commands the repairing of the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. By breaches, understand damages, dilapidation of the temple over time, we might imagine, but especially under Athaliah's usurpation, as we read in 2 Chronicles 24:7. To that end, priests were to utilize the dedicated money that flowed in from three different sources. We have the money of everyone that passeth the account, that is, whenever the sum of the children of Israel was to be counted, and a census taken, there was money that was given as a sort of tax money. The second source was, verse 4, the money that every man is set at as a result of making a special vow. We hear of it in Leviticus 27. And third, the source of money which cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, which we also hear of in Exodus 35. Well, this plan being commended, it comes, however, to little, if not nothing, over a significant period of time. Well, Jehoash might have consoled himself that he at least tried and that there was nothing more to do. They don't listen to me. What's the use? It was very clear in the communication I gave them. How could they have not done anything up to this point? Well, what am I going to do? All we can do is ask. That's not what he did, right? We read, he applied his kingly influence to bring Jehoiada and the priests to account. Why repair ye, verse 7, not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it up for the breaches of the house. We're not told why the priest did not deliver the money to give. It might have been as they're going about in their separate places, it's just coming in and going out for their own personal expenses and other needs. For this then Jehoiada, at the commandment of the king, establishes a chest as one made their way into the temple at one of the gates. The results of this course of action with the priest, bringing all the money called for, led to much money in the chests, verse 10. The money is ultimately counted, it's put in the hand of the workers that wrought upon the house of the Lord, verse 11. And after they finished repairing the temple, verse 13, compared with 2 Chronicles 24, of the same account, informs us that they brought the remaining money to King Jehoash, the chief priest, Jehoiada, of which they had made temple utensils and vessels after they were done. Well, the result of such a successful engagement and project was to elevate the esteem and honor of the true worship of Jehovah in the land. And to have left the breaches as they were would have been to tolerate the disrepute and disregard for the things that are holy, the things that belong to God, his worship and service. And congregation, there is a use here for us. We might ask, where are the breaches today in the house of the Lord? We're not talking about this building. We're talking about the church of Christ on earth.
Where are there today that have long standing, falling apart, coming to ruins, and yet it's common knowledge, and none of us does anything? None of us are kings or great authorities, but we may pray. We may pray to the great and only potentate, Jesus Christ, King over his church, to heal the breaches, to make provision for such. And we may apply our own selves according to our place, station, the circumstances that God puts us in, the opportunities he provides, to whatever contribution to good for the healing up of these breaches, even as the people then had a hand, right, in the three sorts of money in healing of the breaches of the house of the Lord. Particular comment is made in verse 15 that the priests did not reckon with the men, the laborers, into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Here is a witness to fidelity. These men did not need their employer to continually check upon them to see how things were going, how they're utilizing the money, make sure it's not overspending this way or that. They had no need to. Children, special direction for you. Can your parents rely on your faithfulness to do what is right when they are not looking? Do they need to constantly check on you and continually course correct you back into your path? Or brothers and sisters, what of when your employers, colleagues, business partners, family members, friends, or neighbors look upon that which you do? Is there a sudden scuttle and hurrying and hiding what you are doing? Is there something to hide and be ashamed of? Something off that you don't quite want them to see? Or is there peace of conscience in all your labor and doings because of what we read? They were faithful in their dealing. Well, moving in then to verse 17 and 18, we hear of another side of Jehoash's reign. The king of Syria, Hazael, threatens to come to Jerusalem to fight against it. Jehoash, in turn, verse 18, took all the hallowed things his fathers had dedicated and his own hallowed things with all the gold in the treasures of the temple and his own and sent it to Hazael as a way perhaps to appease him, to send him off, be happy with us. Was he successful? Children, did he accomplish what he set out to do? Well, it certainly seems he did, right? The king of Syria left him alone. But was it right? After all, as one has said, better part with the gold of the temple than expose the temple itself, right? That seems reasonable. No, not quite. 2 Chronicles 24 informs us that by this point, Jehoiada the chief priest had died, and Jehoash undergoes a serious steady declension, serving groves and idols and disregarding prophets that were sent to warn the king, consenting and commanding even to kill Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, his old guide, for prophesying the word of the Lord to him concerning the Lord's forsaking Jehoash for his declension. Jehoash's actions in verse 17 to 18 were not mere political prudence to be excused, but the end of a long process of decline and degeneracy. What were hallowed things, holy things, to Jehoash at this point of his career? What valuation did they maintain in his eyes when the king of Syria is coming? Yes, he will buy some time with Hazael, perhaps, but not for a long time, as we learn also in 2 Chronicles 24, that Hazael returns and destroyed all the princes of the people. And this he did because they, it says, Judah and Jerusalem, as headed by Jehoash, had forsaken the Lord, God of their fathers. And so we learn that while political prudence is valuable in statesmen, it is not everything, nor even the main thing. Wickedness cannot purchase peace, at least not a lasting peace. And as for the kings of Israel, it was faithfulness. Again, this theme, faithfulness to him that was key. Well, our chapter ends with the close of Jehoash's life. Note the variant spelling Jehoash, and then you have Joash in verse 19. There's mention made of looking at Chronicles, as we did. We went through that. We also learn here that thereafter the Syrians had finished their spoiling of them, he had been wounded. Two conspirators among Jehoash's servants killed him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest. And although he is buried, it says, with the fathers in the city of David, we learn in Chronicles that he was not given the honor of being buried in the tombs or sepulchres of the kings. Well, that ends our time together in 2 Kings chapter 12.